Well, good morning, Grace Gathering North. Morning. 2 weeks ago, my son was in the shower, and I heard from the shower, "Good morning, Vietnam!" And then he just starts cracking up. And afterwards, I went up to him, and I said, "Grant, I said, I heard you in the shower yelling, 'Good morning, Vietnam,' and you started cracking yourself up." I said, "Actually, have you watched that movie, 'Good morning'?" "No." Well, I said, "Well, how in the world did you know that phrase, 'Good morning, Vietnam'?" He said, "Well, Michael Scott says it in The Office. I was watching a rerun the night before." Any Office lovers in the house? Yeah. Well, it's great to have you on Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to those of you who are mothers. It is a beautiful day, and it's a great time to be together. My name is Chris Norman, and I'm on the team here at Grace Gathering, and just looking really forward to being with you this morning. A couple of months ago, one of my kids was in tears and going through some struggles and just having a really hard day. And that night, there was a function that she was planning to attend, but because she was having such a hard day, she really didn't feel up to going. And so as I talked to her, I was kind of more concerned about whether or not she was going to attend the function than I was about sympathizing and caring about the struggles she was going through that day. And she basically said to me, "I feel like you're more concerned about whether I'm going tonight than about the fact that I'm really having a hard day." And she was really hurt by that. Well, I didn't see it that way during that conversation. I felt like I handled the situation rightly. The next day, as I thought and prayed about it more, the Holy Spirit convicted me. And he convicted me so strongly that I was in the wrong. Have you ever had the experience where you're in a conflict and you feel like you're in the right and you're convinced you're in the right, but then after you walk away and you spend a little bit of time praying and thinking about it, the Spirit actually convicts you that you weren't in the right and that you were actually in the wrong? Has that ever happened to anybody? Raise your hand. Just want to make sure I'm not the only one. Great. Well, the next day while she was at school, I sent this exact text. Been thinking a lot this morning about yesterday, and the more I think about it, the more I think you were in the right and I was in the wrong. I wish I would have said, "Don't worry about going." Feeling really bad about that, wish I could go back and change it. Would you forgive me? Of course, she did, and she was very grateful that I went back to her in humility and sought her forgiveness. One of the most humbling and one of the most powerful questions you will ever ask anyone in your life is this. Four words. Will you forgive me? Inherent in the question is, I was wrong and I'm asking for your grace. Today we're going to look at why asking that question, those four words, will you forgive me, has such spiritual force and such spiritual impact. And what we're going to see also today is that the practice of apologizing when you've done wrong things, the words, "I'm sorry," is very different than asking forgiveness, is not only nowhere found in Scripture, it's a cheap substitute that actually has no power. And so if you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to open with me to Matthew chapter 5. So turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll look at a passage here that Jesus teaches on this. And in this passage, Jesus is quoting Old Testament laws and teaching the spirit of these laws and the spiritual application of these laws. And in this passage, he quotes the sixth commandment, "Do not murder." But he goes deeper into the spiritual implication of that commandment, that it goes just beyond the external aspects of the command, and it actually goes internally to the spirit of the command and what's in the heart and what's in the mind. And so in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 21, it says the following. It says, "You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who's angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar to worship God, and there you remember that your brother or your sister has something against you, here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come back and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. And so Jesus is here dealing with the internal application of the commandment, do not murder, and says that actually you break the command when you have this seething anger in your heart against someone else. You may remember Jesus does this same thing with other Old Testament commands. He gives the example that it's committing adultery is not just the external action, but actually in your heart, if you lust after someone, you've broken the commandment in your heart. And so here he's dealing with the mind and the heart, and he's saying, if you have that kind of anger in your heart against someone else, you're sinning against them. And so Jesus gives this instruction. If you sinned against someone and they're angry with you, they have to deal with their own anger. But you have a responsibility. You can help them get over their anger by going to them, admitting your fault, and asking them to forgive you. And so here's the visual. You're going to the altar, and you're going there to worship God. And as you're worshiping God, you just remember, oh, you know what? I've offended someone. I've hurt someone. Let me just pause before I'm worshiping you, God. Let me go take care of that first. You go over and you seek the other person's forgiveness. You get reconciled with the other person. And then you come back and you begin to worship God freely. This is what Jesus is telling us we should do. You see, when you pray to God or you worship God or you serve God and you realize or you remember that you've sinned against someone, Jesus says, stop what you're doing, go back to them, seek that person's forgiveness, and then come back and worship him freely. Right now, we're in a church service. We've been singing songs of worship. We've been praying. We're now looking at the scriptures. And so we're engaging in worship. And maybe as we're engaging in worship, all of a sudden we remember that we've hurt someone's feelings or we've wronged someone in some way. Jesus says, take care of that right away and then worship me freely. Now, here's the reason asking for forgiveness is fundamentally different than apologizing. So why in this passage does Jesus talk about going to the court, being convicted, going to prison, then paying to get out? There's a reason he makes this analogy. Let's think about this for a moment because we're getting really at the core of what Jesus is teaching. So follow this thinking with me. When I sin against God, I'm wronging him, and it's like my spiritual bank account gets further and further in the red. And every time I sin, I go deeper and deeper into spiritual debt with God. And it's so bad I could never make it right, and my penalty in and of myself is hell. This is why Jesus comes and takes all our spiritual debt. He says, let me take your account, all the wrongs you've done to God, let me take those and put them on myself and let me pay for it on your behalf. Let me pay off that debt for you. And he goes to the cross and he pays our spiritual debt. And this is how we're forgiven and free. He wipes us clean, completely forgiven. when we believe in Jesus and surrender our life to him, there's a transaction take place, and the transaction is one of grace. I've wronged God. Jesus comes and says, let me take those wrongs. Even though you don't deserve it, let me pay it for you on your behalf. It's a transaction of grace. And now I'm free. It's like you're going through bankruptcy and you owe $1 million in debt to all these debtors and you can't pay. And someone goes to your bank and says, I'll pay off all of his or her debts for you. And in exchange, I'm also going to give you my $1 billion fortune. And so I'm going to pay off all your debts, even though you can't pay, and I'm going to give you my $1 billion fortune. And here's the thing about forgiveness. Forgiveness is about a debt being removed. It's a transactional event. It's an event of grace. From the person who wronged to the wrongdoer. I'm actually, when I forgive you, I'm going to cancel your debt. If you owe me $100 and I say I forgive you of that debt, it's a transaction. It's a transaction of grace. I am going to take away the debt that you owe me. You no longer, at one point you owed me $100, and now as I've forgiven you of that debt, you no longer owe me $100. A transaction has taken place. And so here's what happens. Just like when we sin against God, we go into spiritual debt to him. When we sin against someone else, we go into spiritual debt to them. And when we wrong someone and we go into spiritual debt to them, what we need is a transaction. We need them to cancel the debt through grace. And so when I wrong you and I say, I'm sorry, there's no transaction made. And I'm not asking for a transaction. I'm just making a statement. I'm sorry. And the one wronged is not making a commitment to release me of that debt or release you of that debt. So let me explain what happens. Let me just ask Colin. Just go ahead and stand up for a moment, Colin. You're my volunteer this morning. Can we give Colin a round of applause? Yeah. Isn't he amazing? I mean, the guy's amazing. So let's say I wrong Colin. And I realize I wronged Colin. I have this ball because the ball is in my court. When I recognize that I have wronged Colin, I know that I have a responsibility. And so when I recognize that, I actually go to Colin and I ask him the question. I say, Colin, I'm sorry I've wronged you. Would you forgive me? Now, when I ask the question, what I do is I put the ball in Colin's court. Now he has to make a decision. I've done what God's called me to do. I've gone to him and asked him to forgive me. Now the ball's in his court. And he can choose whether to forgive me or not to forgive me. And as he contemplates that decision, I know that I've done what God's called me to do. And so, Colin, I'm just asking you, do you forgive me? Yes. Yes, thank you so much. Appreciate that, Colin. You did. That was very gracious of you. And so, forgiveness is a transaction. Don't ever tell someone that you forgive them unless you're willing to cancel that debt. Because you're actually making a promise and you're making a commitment. It's a commitment of grace, a transaction of grace. Now, I can't be responsible for whether or not you grant me forgiveness. The only thing I can be responsible for is asking. A month or so ago, my 10-year-old daughter came to me, and she said that some girl that she hadn't only met like once or twice, doesn't even really know, just sent her a text. And here's what the text said. My friend told me that you said something negative about me. She actually put in the text what she said that my daughter said. And she was very upset about it. And so Farrah comes to me and says, well, what should I do? And I asked her, I said, well, did you actually say that? And she said, yeah, I did. But if I tell her I said that, that's going to really hurt her feelings. So what should I do? It's going to really hurt her. And so she didn't even really know this girl, and so she didn't know what to do. And so after talking and praying it through, this is the way I helped her. We put a text back together, and this is the way she responded. Yes, I did say that about you. I should not have said that. Would you forgive me? Now, I can almost guarantee that this little girl, this other little girl who's 10 years old, hasn't had many people ask her that question. The way she responded was incredible and very telling. My daughter took responsibility for saying it, even though she didn't want to, and asked for her forgiveness. And rather than this little girl being so hurt, she was actually very moved. Within a couple hours, this little girl said, yes, I do forgive you. Within a couple hours, they were FaceTiming each other. Within 2 days, this little girl said, could I come over and play with you? Within 2 days, she was having a play date. You see, we live in a society where most people don't take responsibility, where most people try to lie, cover up their wrongdoings, push it on someone else, or where most people try to defend themselves or justify their actions. I can't tell you how attractive it is and how spiritually powerful it is for you to humble yourself and say the words, would you forgive me? And not only is this powerful when it's done between two believers, I want you to understand how powerful it is when you do it with someone who doesn't even have faith in Jesus. Because what's happening is when you ask them to forgive you and you're admitting you're wrong, it's a demonstration and a proclamation of the gospel. As we have parented our kids over the years, here's what we've taught them growing up. Saying I'm sorry is when you feel bad for someone or you're sympathizing with them, which is fine. Or when you do something by accident, you bump into them or you do something by accident. But when you've wronged someone, saying you're sorry is inadequate. It's a nice gesture, but it has no power. It asks for no commitment. There's no transaction being made. No transaction of grace. And so even when our kids were small and one of them would, you know, hit the other sibling, which does happen on occasion, right? Smaller kids. We'd say, okay, look, you need to seek his or her forgiveness. And often the first thing they would say was, I'm sorry. We'd say, no, that's not what we asked you to do. We didn't say, go apologize. That's not what we asked you to do. We didn't ask you to say, I'm sorry. We asked you to go and ask for his or her forgiveness. Because when you ask for forgiveness, then it's on the other person to either grant it or not grant it. And so we've never said, I want you to go and apologize. Apology is from you do something by accident or you're sympathizing. I'm sorry for your loss. Or I'm sorry that I accidentally. But when we've wronged someone or hurt someone, we go and we ask them to forgive us. It's far easier to say the words, I'm sorry, than the words, will you forgive me? It's more humbling to say, will you forgive me? There's a greater level of vulnerability to it. You're asking them a question. And what we say is we always ask the question and then you always wait for an answer. You don't just say, you know, would you forgive me? Because I'm sorry I did that. And you kind of go on. No, you actually ask the question and then you wait for a response. Because what you're doing when you ask someone to forgive you is you are handing them the ball and you say, okay, now it's your responsibility. Either you grant me forgiveness or you don't. So let me ask you a series of questions relevant to this teaching that Jesus is here giving us. What if someone wronged me and has not sought my forgiveness? What should I do? Well, Matthew 18:15 says this. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you've won them over. And so I know that if someone sinned against me, the ball's in my court. I know if I've sinned against someone else, the ball's in my court. Here's the tip. When there's conflict, the ball's always in your court. Don't ever wait for someone else. We take the initiation. So if someone's wronged me, I need to go to them and say, hey, look, this is what happened. You wronged me. Or if I've wronged someone, I need to go to them and say, you know, I've wronged you. Would you forgive me? So the ball is always in our court. Secondly, what if I go to them and they still don't ask my forgiveness after I've said, you know, you really hurt me? This happens. There are times in which we go and we say, you know what, that really hurt me. And they just simply say, well, you shouldn't have been hurt. That's your issue. And they never ask your forgiveness. What do we do then? This is what Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. We have to forgive the people who have wronged us, even if they never ask us to forgive them. And here's the reason why we ask them to forgive us. Because we know that in Christ, God has forgiven every one of our sins, even the ones that we don't even remember making. We haven't gone to God and asked Him every single sin we've made. And so when we're dealing with someone else and they've really hurt us, whether we've gone to them or not, and they've refused to ask our forgiveness, it is still imperative for us. Because God's forgiven us, how could we ever withhold forgiveness from someone else? We always forgive, whether they asked or they haven't asked. Well, what if I don't want to forgive someone? All right, see, what's the next question? What if I ask someone to forgive me and they choose not to? So you go to that person, you say, you know what, I know I was wrong. Would you forgive me? And they say, you know what, I just can't do that. I can't forgive you right now. This happens. You go to someone and you ask them to forgive you and they choose not to, or they say they can't right now. What do you do? Romans 12, 18 says this. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Look, we're not responsible for anyone else. We're just responsible for ourselves. We seek people's forgiveness. If they choose not to forgive, that's between them and God. But we're free and clear of our responsibility. We've asked. We can't control someone forgiving us or not. That's between them and God. Well, what if I don't want to forgive someone because the pain is still too deep, or I don't trust them, or I don't want to let them off the hook that easy? Matthew 6, 14 to 15 says this. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I mean, it's a pretty serious statement here. Look, it is absolutely imperative that even if we don't feel like we want to forgive someone, even though the pain is still really fresh, even though we may not trust them, which is fine, we don't need to trust anybody, but we do need to forgive them. We need to cancel their debt for their behalf and for our own behalf. And so there are times in which we don't feel like forgiving, but God calls us to forgive because He's forgiven us. How could we withhold forgiveness from someone else knowing that God has forgiven us? What if someone thinks I've wronged them, but I don't think I did anything wrong? So someone comes to you and says, you know what, you really hurt my feelings, or I feel really wronged by what you've done. And you're thinking to yourself, geez, you're oversensitive. That shouldn't have hurt your feelings. I didn't wrong. I was actually justified in what I did. What do you do when you don't feel like you've done something wrong and someone's come to you? Romans 12, 17 says this. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Look, you want to maintain the relationship. And so if someone feels like you've wronged them, even though in yourself you think, you know what, I think I was in the right. For the sake of the relationship, you ask them still, well, okay, well, you know, would you forgive me for hurting your feelings? I never intended to hurt your feelings, but your feelings are hurt. Would you forgive me? And so we still ask, even though we don't feel like maybe we did something wrong. Well, what if I sinned against someone way back in my past? Should I go to them and seek their forgiveness after years and years? I remember when I first became a Christian, I became a Christian at the age of 21. And when I did, I was recognizing how much God had forgiven me, and I was thinking about all the ways I wronged other people. And one of the first people I went to was my mom and my dad, and I just said, you know, would you forgive me for all the things? And I remember going to my sister, whenever, times in which I didn't treat her the right way, and I said, would you forgive me for all the times I scared you with spiders and freaked you out? Would you forgive me for the times in which I lied to you and asked her to forgive me? I remember going to some girls in my high school that I wronged when I was in high school. Even after several years, I wasn't able to connect with, I just connected with a couple of them and asked them if they would forgive me. They're like, yeah, sure. You know, what's the big deal? It was a big deal to me. And so even when we begin to recognize, you know what, I've wronged some people in my past, I never asked them to forgive me. It's appropriate at times to even go back and seek their forgiveness. Well, lastly, what if I can't remember everyone I've wronged or I haven't gone to everyone I remember? Will God hold that against me? See, when we give our lives to Jesus in faith, he forgives us of all our wrongdoing. All our wrongdoing to him and all our wrongdoing to other people. It's wiped clean. You're forgiven. So it's not a matter of I need to go back and make sure I cross every T and dot every I and make sure I go to every single person or God won't forgive me. It's not that. I've already been forgiven. But I do want to make those things right. And every opportunity I have to go back in my past to make something right that was wrong, I want to take that opportunity. It's not so that I can maintain my own forgiveness. It's because I've already been forgiven. And so actually just this week, a couple of days ago, I had someone come to me and say, you know what, you said something a couple of months ago, and you didn't follow through with what you said, and that really hurt me. Now, when this person said that to me, honestly, I didn't even remember ever saying that. But here's what I said to this person. I said, you know what, I don't remember ever saying that, but I'm sure I did. And I take responsibility for saying that, and I take responsibility for hurting you in saying that. Would you forgive me? Again, those four words, the most humbling and spiritually powerful four words you will ever ask someone. Will you forgive me? And so let's just pause just for a few moments and just pray and just kind of bow and just allow God just to work in our hearts and speak to us. And if you are in Christ, you've been forgiven. There's been a transaction of grace made, where your account has been wiped clean, your spiritual account has been wiped clean. And God calls us as a part of following Jesus to make wrong things right among other people, to go to them when they've hurt us, to forgive them whether they ask or don't ask, and that when God does convict us that we've wronged someone or hurt someone, that we actually take the initiation to go to them and say, will you forgive me? And then wait for an answer. And so how is God speaking to you this morning? How is he emphasizing this teaching? Other people that he's bringing to your mind right now. Let me just pause and just allow the Spirit just to speak to you for a few moments. And so, Lord, we do thank you for the power of the humility of seeking one's forgiveness. We thank you that we've sought your forgiveness and you granted it. We thank you that we can seek one another's forgiveness. and that we can humble ourselves. And this transaction of grace can take place where wrong things are made right. And I pray that you'd show us and give us a discipline of actually going to people and seeking their forgiveness. And also for those who've sinned against us, who've never sought our forgiveness, I pray that we would forgive them from our heart and that you would lead us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.